All right, in this session, I want to talk about training with loving authority. Some of this is going to tie back in a little bit to discipline, but really training is the emphasis. And I feel like this session, I'm trying to capture something I don't know that I've ever quite captured before. And I've tried for years to figure this out and put it into words. So this is my attempt to get something that I think is really hard to grasp. And just we've seen a lot of parents who, it's not like discipline's the key. There are parents who, oh yeah, we believe in discipline, we believe in spanking, and we love our kids, and we do all this stuff. And it's like, I still feel like there's just something missing. And I want to help people, and I want to kind of coach them or help them see that. And it's just really, really hard for parents to catch some aspects of parenting. And so like one of the things is, you know, I just feel like kids could use more structure and more discipline. There could be a different level of peace in the home and in their lives. And you say that, and 95% of parents are like, yep, absolutely, yep, yeah, kids should, you know, there should be more discipline, more structure, more. It's like, yeah, but it's there's just a lot of widespread just letting our kids run free or not. I don't know, it just feels like we're missing part of what God has for our kids, in my opinion. Again, and maybe I'm just really hyper crazy about some of this stuff, but I just want to talk through Scripture a little bit more and see if we can think through, okay, what standards is God looking for? So let's pray one more time here. Lord, we do just ask that you would bless and that you would just help us to hear from you. Pray you'd help us to capture some of those things that it's like, we may not quite see this. And it's even like that puzzle that we looked at last night. God, it's really significant if we're missing a big chunk still. And so, God, I pray you'd help us to see just what your goal would be. What's it look like to bring up a kid in the training and instruction of the Lord? God, we need to see that. We need to have a vision of what it is we're trying to do, what it is we're trying to produce, how we're trying to help our kids be godly men and godly women. So we pray, God, that you would just help us as we wrestle through that a little bit more here today. And we ask your blessing on this time. Pray that your Spirit would be moving in our hearts. And again, just giving us wisdom if there's just one or two things that we could tweak in our parenting that would really make a significant difference. And so we ask that you would just be at work here. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the first point there is just to determine to win the wrestle for authority with our kids so that our kids would follow us. We're trying to train our kids. They need to be kind of going with us. And we need to be the parents, and they need to be the kid. And sometimes for parents, that just seems to be a really hard thing to get. So Proverbs 22:6, first we've looked at a bunch of times. This is the one we're going to focus on here in this last session. All three main points relate to this. So, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not turn from it. Go back to your English class. What's our subject there? You, right? It's the implied you. Your answer to that question might tell whether or not you should homeschool. So you, train a child in the way he should go. So you know, God's pointing at us, saying, hey, guys, you do this. And I think we need to really own that. Be like, okay, God's calling me into this. So they are called to obey. You are called to train them to that which they are called. Their job is to obey. We need to help them do that. So don't be afraid to be the authority in your kids' lives. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20, similar verse. Children are called to obey their parents, so that's their responsibility. Kind of, we're called to obey our Heavenly Father, and His role is He makes sure that that happens, right? He loves and disciplines us. And so they are called to obey. It's our responsibility to make sure that that happens. And so we want to help them. We want to take responsibility where responsibility's given to us. And I think some parents are uncomfortable with that. And they kind of feel like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to mess up my kids somehow. So Why do we struggle with being the authority? So some of these are just observations, but I think sometimes we feel like we don't have the right. Kind of like, well, I'm a human created in God's eyes, and they're a human created in God's eyes, and so what business is it of mine to interfere and to coach them or to be the authority in their lives? And obviously, well, it's that God makes us the authority. God's given us this responsibility. He calls us to do this. We looked at the verse earlier, you train a child in the way you should go. This is something that's given to us. We talked within the dad session with fathers. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is something that's been given to you. And so you can feel totally peaceful of like, okay, I'm going to do that. You're not jumping in where you're not supposed to be. This is your thing. I think sometimes we don't want to be that parent. We don't want to be, you know, oh, the one who's a drill sergeant or something. And so we might want our kids to be friends instead of being willing to be the authority in their lives. And we can get kind of weak and coddling instead of coaching them and helping them and training them and setting boundaries and disciplining. You know, we were coaching a couple one time. They wanted some input on their kid, and they came over to our house two or three times and talked about this kid, and this kid was so challenging and so hard, and I just had this picture of her in my head, kind of the Tasmanian she-devil or something, you know? And then they brought her with them one time, and, you know, this little pipsqueak of a girl comes up to the door, and she's really cute, and I'm like, I think I could get her to obey, you know? And it's just, it didn't seem like rocket science to me, but I think they were so, but we don't want to tell her no. We don't want to cross her. It's like, well, I can appreciate that, but this is your job. You know, this is your thing. You need to cross her. That's a blessing. That's a good thing for her. And yet I do want to have a warm relationship in the house. We had a family in the church, and the guy would train his kids. They would say, yes, sir, whenever he asked them to do something. And so my kids tried to do that with me a few times. I'm like, I'm not sir, I'm dad. You know, it's like, I appreciate the respect, I appreciate the authority, but I'm like, that's not the flavor we're doing here. I'm dad, you call me dad. Well, what's wrong? I'm like, because this isn't the military, this is a family, and this is the relationship we have. It's a loving, tender relationship, and I don't want to be sir. And you can have your kids call you sir if you want. That's fine. I'm just saying that I can appreciate we don't want to be that drill sergeant. I didn't want to be the drill sergeant. But I still want to be the sergeant. Kind of, you know, I'm the one with authority, and it's okay with me if I'm strong. And it's okay with me if my kids are a little like, dad's irritating, or, you know, I don't like dad, dad's too strong, or whatever. You know, it's like, well, that's just part of parenting. Yeah, you're going to cross your kids sometimes, and that's okay. And be willing to do that. And so for me, I don't fear being too strong with the kids too much. One is because I feel like there's so much love and relationship and tenderness in the home that I think that paves the way for us to be able to be strong, as I've talked about earlier. I think our kids need us to be strong, that's really the best thing for them. We had a very weird experience one time where there was a teen girl in the church, and she had caused some problems at home. Basically, the police had to come, and the police gave the advice of, well, she probably shouldn't stay with the parents tonight because I think she was just so out of sorts. And so we went, and we were talking to them, and we're like, well, what should you do? And it was funny because they came up with this idea, we should have so-and-so watch him, who's this more of a drill sergeant type of dad. So they kind of recognized, oh, she needs a drill sergeant. And it's like, oh, man. It's like, okay, we'll take her. We'll take her home. And so she ended up staying with us for the next month, I think it was, something like that. And it's like, wow, what an experience. And what did she need? Well, she needed that. She needed those boundaries. She needed to be crossed because the path that she was on was not good. And so we tried to help her, and I think that was a really good month. And I can't even remember if this was with her or with somebody else, but there was a teen who was on the verge of being sent to like a troubled teen home. And so I had a little bit of contact with this troubled teen home because I found out that when the kids are in this home, that, you know, what they do is, well, it is a little bit like a drill sergeant, and they have all these rules, guidelines, discipline. Obviously, it's not spanking, but it's kind of merits and demerits, and they're trying to work with these kids and give them hard work to do and all this stuff. And their challenge was, when they would send kids back into the home, what would happen? Will they get everything back? So I asked them, I'm like, can I get a copy of your rules? the rules that they would send to the parents? And they're like, oh, sure. And they sent it to me, and it was just so simple. If we all brainstorm for 10 minutes, we could come up with the same list. It's like, don't give them their cell phone. Don't buy whatever they want. Don't give in to their demands. Have structure. Make them go to bed on time. You know, make them get up. Just super, super simple stuff. Our kids need that. They thrive in that. And without that, without us being willing to cross our kids, without us being willing to be the parent, then the kids don't do well. And so we need to be willing to be that parent. We need to be willing to stand our ground and help our kids. So I think we think that if we discipline them, they won't know that we love them. I think we have this concern about being too strong, this concern about being too strict. But we need to balance that. We need to have a concern about being too spineless. Does that make sense? So I think we can kind of coddle, and I think our society is really good at that, right? We're really good at affirming and listening. Okay, share your heart with me. And there's value in all that for sure. But we also need to be willing to say, yeah, but you still need to obey. And I think we just have such a fear that our kids will think that we don't love them. And yet God disciplines us. God is firm with us. He doesn't shy away from, well, I don't want to tell them what to do because that might hurt their feelings. And, you know, it's like, it's okay. It's okay to be the parent and to be strong and to be loving. Those are all tied together. Those are not separate things. And this is a big one. I think we're afraid of messing them up. We don't want to mess up our kids. Oh, I'm afraid if I'm too strong, if I set these rules, if I take them to church, or if I cross them, they don't want to do this. They want to do their sport, and I don't let them do their sport. Oh, they're going to hate me forever. We kind of have this mindset that somehow we're going to have this catastrophic failure in our parenting that's going to ruin them forever. Verse 29:15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. And there's this idea of kids shouldn't be left to themselves, that that's not good, that's not healthy. And I just thought of this verse this morning with David. I think it was with Absalom. Absalom's doing crazy stuff. And the Bible says, he did not interfere with him by asking, why do you behave as you do? And even that word, he didn't interfere with him by asking, why do you behave as you do? It's like dad just needed to step up and be like, what are you doing? I'm going to interfere. I'm going to stop. I'm going to change the course of things here. And we need to be willing to cross our kids and not be so afraid of we're going to misstep. Should we balance? Sure. We shouldn't be too strict. But we also shouldn't be too loving, if you know what I mean. In other words, those things go hand in hand. If we're strict, it's because we're loving. If we have boundaries, if we have discipline, it's because we're loving, because that's a good thing for the kids. It's interesting just to think about the difference between a parent and a kid. So the parent's the adult, the kid's a child, the parent's a teacher, the kid's a student, the parent's cautious, the kid is reckless, the parent's wise, the kid is childish, the parent's mature, the kid is immature, the parent has been given authority, and the kid is told to honor and obey. And yet we can have this idea like, well, I don't want to step in there too much because I'm going to mess up the kid. It's like, no, you're the wise one, you're the smart one, you're the adult. You know, jump in there because this is your thing. This is what you're good at. Your kid is not good at these things. And so don't be afraid of messing up your kid. Be afraid of your kid messing up himself. You're the wise one put in there to help. You're the life giver. You're bringing good. Don't shy away from that. Jump in there. So our first point there was determined to win the wrestle for authority. You train up a child. They're called to obey. We're called to train them to that which they're called. Then we need to establish an atmosphere of obedience. Same verse, you train a child. So we need to train our kids. It's not just discipline our kids, but we're training our kids how to obey. If we don't train them to obey, they won't. If we don't train them to obey, they won't. Always expect full obedience. This gets into like the blanket training that I told you about. So we ask our kids to stay on the blanket because we're training them. They step out. Well, we're training them to obey. We're training them not to touch the plant. We're training them not to stick something in the light socket. This is part of their equipping. I know a story of one dad that took his kid out shopping, and the kid threw a hissy fit and wanted this and wanted that and was fussing all over. And he took the kid home. I can't remember what he set down on the floor, pieces of candy or something, put the kid in the middle, and they're just all over the floor, kind of like a little minefield. It's like, no touch, no touch, no touch, no touch. And they just train the kid, okay, you just obey, and you be peaceful within these boundaries. And he did this, and he's like, man, this is great. I just trained my kid how to obey. Good for him. And the kid learned to obey his voice, his words. Just don't touch that just because I ask you to. What a good thing to learn, to obey in authority. And so, got to expect full obedience. So what's full obedience look like? Rick Whitney used to call it quickly, completely, cheerfully. I'm going to give you a couple other words with that as well. So quickly would just be timely. Like I ask you to do something, and so I want you to do it now. Would be a good time. And so, like, if you're like to your 10-year-old or whatever, like, hey, we're going to go. You need to turn off your video game. And they don't get up because they're in the middle of the video game. Then they cross you. They're not really obeying. They don't get it. Like, if you ask them to do something, they don't do it. That's not obeying, right? That's how that works. And so now they could say, hey, I've been trying to do this level for 6 months, and I'm almost there. Can I do 2 more minutes? They can ask, sure. And normally we'd probably say, yeah, that's fine. But sometimes we say, no, we need to go. Shut it off. And they need to, okay. And so we want our kids to obey quickly. That's just part of obedience. We want them to obey completely, to do exactly what we ask them to do, or to do it how we ask them to do it. And so with our kids, that would be like when I ask the kid, look into my eyes, I want him to look into my eyes, not my forehead. If I say, say yes, Dad, I want him to say, yes, Dad. I don't want him to say, yes, Daddy. I don't want him to say, yes, Father. I don't want him to say, yes. I want him to say, yes, Dad. Again, I know I'm old and grumpy and whatever, but it's just, I'm training you to do what I say. And that's important, I think. Yeah, we had a kid one time who wanted, or it was time to practice the piano. I don't know if they wanted to or not, but it was time to practice the piano. I'm like, okay, I want you to do 20 minutes on the metronome. I don't remember why. And so I kind of walked through a few times, and they're kind of dinking around, and like, okay, whatever. And then finally the metronome's going, and they're on the piano. They get all done. They're like, okay, I'm all done. I'm like, okay, did you do 20 minutes on the metronome? Like I asked. Well, I did 10 minutes on the metronome, but I spent 10 minutes looking up the beats per minute for these songs and yada, 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 yada. I'm like, is that what you think I wanted you to do? No. What did I want you to do? 20 minutes on the metronome. I'm like, that's right. Okay, I want you to go do another 20 minutes practicing with the metronome. So it's not a spanking offense or anything, but just I want you to obey exactly what I ask you to do. And if you don't do what I ask you to do, then you're really not obeying. That's just important. Another one we use sometimes, I don't think I talked about this, is touch my leg. So with a younger kid, say, hey, come touch my leg. And it's just a little bit different than saying, come here. Because if you say, come here, and they look at you, well, is that enough? Or they take one step towards you, is that enough? Or they kind of almost come to you. So we just kind of make it into a black and white thing. Come touch my leg. And they come all the way up. It's like, hey, sorry, hon, you didn't touch my leg. So whatever, there are consequences. Why? Because you didn't obey. And it's not just arbitrary. The kids would know those things, right? They would know a couple things like that, touch my leg and look in my eyes. Those are, we're really going to hold them to those things because it's a standard that we're setting because it's part of their training. Now, something else, if I'm like, hey, shut the door, and they don't shut the door, or they forget and leave it open or whatever, you know, we'll let some things slide. There's definitely grace, but there are also things that we crack down on that we really want them to pay attention, to be careful with. Cheerfully, or respectfully, or bow. We don't actually have our kids bow, but kind of that attitude of I'm going to obey. So we've got now, how, bow. the three things that we need for full obedience. And there are more blanks on your sheet there than I really want to spend time on this. So you have to write quickly. No grumbling, no bargaining, no eye rolling, no bad attitude, no talking back, no pouting. We just want them to respectfully obey. Now again, sometimes they can respectfully say, you know, hey, can I do this? And sometimes that would be that's fine. Sometimes it's, you know, I think you're talking back. I don't want you to talk back. You need to obey now. And that's just part of obedience. Always correct disobedience. Always correct disobedience. An authority who doesn't discipline is a breath-wasting suggestion giver. I should have had blanks on your sheet for that. Okay? An authority who doesn't discipline is a breath-wasting suggestion giver. One time we had this couple over at our house, we had a good time, they had their kids there, and came time to go, and the kid threw a fit, like kids do sometimes when they leave, when they've been having fun. And mom's trying to pick up the kid, and the kid just hauls off and smacks her in the head. And dad's like, don't do that! And so, you know, he kind of keeps going, and he's squirming around, and she tries again to pick up the kid, and he smacks her in the face again. I told you don't do that! And so she's working with him again, and he smacks her in the face again. What's dad doing there? I don't know. Like, why are you even telling him no if you're not going to do anything about it? It's such an obvious offense. He just punched her in the face. Give him a spanking. Train him. You don't even need to give a warning on that one. That's just, oh, that's a spanking, bud. Sorry. You know, and so what's he doing? Well, this is his concept of discipline. It's just, he's going to get more and more frustrated. He's going to yell at his kids, and that's going to fix things, and it's not helping. He's just completely wasting his breath. And that's a little bit of an extreme example. But I've seen this a million times of just, may not be a million, maybe 900,000, something like that. A lot of times. You know, hey, buddy, I want you to stay up on the couch. And then they get off the couch. Like, well, okay, but if you get down, I want you to stay in the room. And then get out of the room. Well, okay, but I don't want you to bug mom. It's like, no, why are you even giving instruction? Like, what good is that doing? And it's so easy for parents to do that. It's so easy. And we have to realize it's just, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if we're being lazy or we just don't see the value of training our kids or we don't care if they listen to us, but it's really not doing them any favors. And so if we ask them to obey, they really need to obey. And then it's our job to make sure that they obey. Never shy away from giving correction. I think sometimes parents understand this other thing, always correct disobedience, and so they're like, well, I don't want to get into a spanking situation, and so I'm just not going to ask them to do anything. And so their kids will be misbehaving, and you know that the parent sees it, and they just don't do anything because they don't want to go to battle. It's like, no, just man up. You know, like, just be willing to go to battle. Your kid needs to be corrected. Just set a boundary and say, okay, we're not going to do that. But it's so easy to coddle. And you know, I think you're like picking up toys. Like, hey, buddy, pick up the toys. And then the kid won't pick up toys. And then, you know, mom gets down and she starts picking up toys. And he kind of throws two things in. And mom does it all. It's like, well, you asked him to pick up the toys and he didn't. And you did it all. My tone of voice is really snarky, isn't it? I love you guys. You guys are awesome. It's frustrating to me because it's like, it just seems so clear to me. It just seems so clear. It's like, we just have to ask them to obey, and then we have to follow through if they don't. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because we're training them, which is exactly what God called us to do. Train a child. Train a child. If you don't train them to obey, then they won't. I'm really a lot nicer than I seem, I know. Set and hold standards that launch your kids on a trajectory. Same verse. Train a child in the way he should go. There's some idea that we should kind of know where they're going. Not that they would be a particular, you know, astronaut or rocket scientist or whatever, but that we are going to train them in godly character to be spiritual champions or men and women of God. And we need to train them to act that way, train them to act stellar, or they'll act like mere kids. And I like this verse in 1 Corinthians 3:3. It says, "You are still worldly, for since there's jealousy and quarreling among you," are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? What an awesome verse. He's talking to people. He says, aren't you people? Just acting like people? What's wrong with you? What are they supposed to act like? God's people. Children of God. He says, instead of doing that, they're just acting like just normal people. And I think with our kids, that's this idea of kind of like I talked earlier with like the girl being the princess or something. I would love them to have that identity of I'm a child of God. And so as I'm training my kids, I want to train them to be godly people. As Charlie mentioned, godly adults. And this is one of the most difficult things that we've seen in parenting, I think, is what's that look like? And I think one of the challenges is that parents kind of get the results of what they think that looks like. You know, if you picture that as being this kid who really knows Scripture and has a heart for the world and whatever, then that's kind of what comes out. And if you're like, you know, I kind of want my kid to be kind of free and kind of do what they want and whatever, and well, that's kind of what comes out of the home. Let me share a story with you. Again, a story about Charlie's family. Again, I was really close to John Karlmeyer. Carol had a dog, a black lab, named Millie. This isn't actually Millie. This is a different black lab, but they all look remarkably similar. I can't remember why we went over their house a few times in this little season of life. And I used to have a black lab, so I thought, well, this is fun. We haven't owned dogs for, that's a whole nother parenting session. But I thought, well, it would be fun to play with Millie a little bit because I like doing that. I like playing with dogs and wrestling with them and stuff. And so I'd go in and kind of like, hey, Millie, come here. And I wanted to wrestle Millie because my dog, Boo, we would wrestle until there were like blood and growls, you know. And then when I would kind of get scared, I'd be like, all right, calm down, we're good. And for me, it was fun. The dog loved it and I loved it. And so I'd be like, come on, Millie, come on. Come on, and I'd grab Millie's legs and try to knock Millie down. And Millie was pretty chill, but Millie would kind of look a little bit like, am I permitted to do this? Like okay, I'm going to help. And Carol would put up with it a little bit. And then eventually Carol would be like, Millie, no. Millie, come here. And Millie would come, Millie, sit. And Millie would lay down. And Millie was like the world's perfect dog. And Millie would just kind of tool around the house. When Millie wanted to go outside, Millie would ring a little bell with her nose, and then it was time to let Millie out. And so Carol loved dogs, I love dogs, and I like a good obedient dog too. I don't like them like to jump up on you and stuff when you first see them. I want them to obey, but I also want them to be playful and to wrestle and stuff. And I don't think that was really Carol's thing. And so she had this perfect little dog. So anyway, just you see there's a difference there in what we're thinking a good dog would be. And I think in parenting, the same thing happens. And I think it relates to the question earlier about kids fitting into the world and stuff. And it's like, there is this reality of, I'm not really sure I want my kid to be a godly kid. And I don't mean to imply that's what you were saying. I don't think that's what you were saying. But, you know, who does? Like, my kids did the Bible B. And sometimes be like, oh, yeah, I have this thing with my kids. Oh, what are they doing? Oh, the Bible B. I'm a little embarrassed to say it. You know, like, who named that? Like, come on, guys. You know, sword fighters. I mean, it's not that hard to come up with a good name for that. And so there's this element of like, well, I identify with Jesus, but I don't want to be weird. And my kids don't want to be weird, and nobody wants to be weird, and that shapes my parenting. Just like deciding if I want a playful dog or an obedient dog. We're like, I kind of want to balance between those or whatever. And so I think with our kids, we really need to see this and have this mindset of okay, I want to raise a child in the way he should go, and I need to have a kind of picture of what that looks like in this world and in this culture. What am I aiming for? And I feel like a lot of parents aim too low. So another story, we went over to someone's house one time, and the only thing that hurts is breathing. I've been doing a lot more breathing as I speak than I'm used to, I guess. But we went over to this house, and these parents were basically inviting us over to give them input. So it's not like we're always going to people's house and scrutinizing their parenting and stuff. But we went over, and they were, I think they're waiting for the dad to get home, I think, and so mom was preparing a meal, and kids are out in the back playing, and we're sitting there talking, having a nice conversation, and then the kids come in and are, blah, chasing each other, blah, and back out the door. And mom's just kind of cooking and doing her thing, and I'm like, okay, that was weird. And then pretty soon, like, he's, you know, he's like chasing the kid with a spear coming through again. And she's cooking. She's like, don't run in the house. And then, like, the third time, they're doing child sacrifices or something. I mean, it was like, what in the world is going on here? And you could tell she just, I don't know if she didn't see it or was just beat down, just tired of correcting the kids. And it's like, yeah, it just doesn't need to be that way. Generally, when I tell stories, I try to kind of, you know, change some of the facts and stuff so that I'm not giving away people's identities or having people call me up like, why are you talking about me in your parenting conferences? That one I told one time, and our son came up to me and he said, Dad, was that so-and-so? I'm like, yeah. He said, that was the worst day of my life, having to play with those kids. And so it wasn't just that I'm a cranky old man or whatever, and I was much younger then, but it's just their behavior was just so out of line. And it came time to pick up the toys, and you know, I think their kids were like, you guys pick them up, you know, this is our house, and we're in charge. And you know, it was just kind of this weird, ugly yuck. And so I went out and I talked to the dad and said, hey, you know, I'm just kind of concerned and just saw some things I'm a little uncomfortable with. And it was a very awkward conversation. He's like, well, hey, you know, we're good parents. And we parent by bringing our kids to church and we bring our kids to Sunday school and we parent by disciplining them and we parent by spanking them. We parent just like you do, just like you recommend. And it's like, what's that movie, Princess Bride, where he keeps using the word inconceivable? And it's like, you keep using that word. I do not think that word means what you think it means. And it's like, you keep using that word parent. I don't think that word means what you think it means. And so many people say, oh, we're doing just what you do. It's like, there's just something that's missing, and I wish I could capture that. That's the frustration in my voice. I wish I could capture, like, what's missing, and I think it's this, is we've got to see it. We've got to see what we're raising our kids to be. Train a child in the way he should go. We've got to have a picture of, okay, this is what I'm shooting for, and I think what happens is because we're so afraid of our kids being weird that we're a little afraid to, like, I know how they should go, I don't want to do that. And so they're turning out kind of pretty much like we raised them. We want them to be a little bit free-thinking. We want them to fit into the world. We want them to be accepted by the culture. And, well, guess what? They are. But they've lost a lot of the other stuff that we were trying to pass on to our kids. Another thought would just be to set standards that adults follow. I'll go through this pretty quickly. You have a couple of appendixes on the back of your notes, appendix 2 and 3. And those will have some just random standards. Again, no rocket science there. One's very scripture-based. One's just more some different ideas. But obviously, I'm not talking for a three-month-old, but just we're raising them to be adults. And so we want to have adult-type standards. I noticed during our sessions in the church, none of you were running through the church. Okay, so at church, don't let your kids run through the church. Is there a law against that? Is that a sin? No, it's just reasonable. It's just training your kids to be adults, training your kids to behave in ways that are socially acceptable. I know none of you ate 23 cookies. I've seen kids do that. They'll just pile up their plate, or they'll take a bite and put it back. And, you know, it's just simple stuff. I mean, that's not rocket science. But, some, you know, I always want to correct a kid, and it's like, hey, and then I look, and I see the parent's standing right there. It's like, it's, you know, 20 cookie limit, you know? It's like, he's crossed the line there somewhere. Jump in, parent. Don't leave this on me. Set standards that help you establish boundaries and teach authority. Again, that could be like blanket training or whatever. Even like curfew is good. So you have a teenager, you set a curfew, 10 o'clock. A boundary is a boundary. So if they come in at 10:01, you broke curfew. Next time you go out, you need to be in by 8:30. Why? Because that extra minute really meant the world? It's extra sinful? No, just because I asked you to do this. And this is the boundary, and I want you to follow the boundary and obey. That would, again, that's my two cents. It's just, if they don't do what you say, then they're not obeying. So follow through in some way would be how I would treat that, how to encourage that. Set standards that teach them to show honor, hold the door open, don't take someone's hat, don't get up to go to the bathroom 5 times in the middle of a talk, don't run past the elderly in church. Seen that happen. We used to have a little lady who came to church, and she had her walker, and she was the funniest. I'm pretty sure she intentionally would take her walker around and ram it into people. And I got a kick out of that. It's like, she's tired of being kicked around. And she's going to show people who's boss. Set standards that teach them how to interact lovingly. And so that could be just all kinds of things, telling the truth, sharing, being on time. Sometimes we'll have church hikes, and I'm like, we're leaving at 8 o'clock sharp. So you can think of it as like we're leaving at 7:15, but at, you know, at 8, we're going to leave. And you know, because otherwise, inevitably, there's always somebody like, you know, I'm running late. Can everybody wait for me? And then you have 20 people waiting 30 minutes or something. Wow, we just wasted 10 man hours of time. Like, be respectful of everybody's time. Just be on time. And so, again, you got to decide, is that just me being persnickety, or is that actually a way to love people by being on time? Set standards that bring peace and enjoyment. Again, I think about things like not screaming, not in the church, not in the house, not outside. Even like playing whiny, sometimes the kids would be like, nyeh, 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 nyeh. You'd be like, hey guys, don't fuss. Oh, we're not fussing, just as we're playing these, that's what the characters are doing. It's like, tell them not to fuss either, you know, because it's like just, again, just a household of peace is what we want. Set standards that are higher than those of everyone around you. Why? Because we're launching our kids on a trajectory, because almost everyone's standard is going to be so low. And just really shoot for stellar. And again, back to that idea, train them to act stellar, or they're going to act like mere kids. So again, I don't know, go before the Lord on this. I still feel like it's like, oh, I wish I could capture something in this talk. But it's like, it's not spanking. That is not the answer. There's something else in our vision of where they're going that we really have to see. And then it's really pretty simple, I think, to train and to discipline and help our kids down that road. But we have to see it, and we have to own it, and we have to be okay with it. We have to be okay with it being a good thing. Just a couple of random resources. I did like 50-some gospel videos, and some of them are apologetics, just talking about different things. I'm not super intelligent. I'm very simple, and so I explain things in a pretty simple way. And if I had a teen or preteen, I would just have them watch one of these videos every week, all year long, and then have them keep repeating through those things, because they're just going over really basic things that are good to be reminded of. So that's just an idea if you want to have them watch Grandpa Steve. Kathleen does some videos talking about biblical womanhood, so some of that, of course, is going to be on motherhood. And you can find her on tinyearl.com, KN-womanhood. Or you can just search for her name, Biblical Womanhood. And then she's also involved in a Living Out Biblical Womanhood podcast with some other gals, with Morgan Thatcher, Krista Whitney, and Mary Young. And they've just started this. We've had three. I'm kind of their technical advisor. And the first one's kind of lower quality. We're getting better as we go. But I think they're super, super helpful and encouraging. And I know that moms are just, it's challenging. You guys work a lot, and you are laying down your lives, and it's good to have encouragement. So I think you'd find this podcast very encouraging. It's not all on mothering, but probably one in four or something will be. And then this is something I just kind of discovered recently. These are really funny videos, I guess creation videos, certainly science videos, that explain things in a real simple way. And they're just really sharp. They're really fun. And sometimes I think even for parents, it's like, oh, I want to help my kids in some of the stuff, but I don't get it. It's like, well, then it actually helps us understand some things that would help us to be able to teach our kids. So that's it. Yeah, and again, there's still some stuff on the table back there. If anybody wants anything, make sure you grab that, because I am not going to take it back on the airplane, so I would rather have it go home with you. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time here, and just thank you for the privilege of coming and speaking about parenting and just the heart for our kids. And God, we all want to do a good job with our kids. Thank you for entrusting them to us. I pray that you would help us just to sort through anything in our hearts that's an obstruction to doing a good job. Help us to sort through just what it looks like to set them on this trajectory in the way that they should go. God, what's that look like? What's that look like? Not that there's one answer for all of us, but what's that look like for us in our kids and their personalities and our personalities and our different situations in life? There are just so many different factors there. Again, we lack wisdom. We need it from you, and pray that you would give us that, and pray that you would just help us to be faithful with that which you've entrusted us, and to do a good job with these kids. Help us to just depend on you for our strength. God, is so tiring to do a good job and be actively involved in their lives. God, help us to continue just to keep laying down our lives and following you and serving these kids. I pray you'd help us just to see the importance of it, to see that it's something worth giving of ourselves to, and that it would matter, that we wouldn't get sidetracked with work or even church involvement, but God, just kind of first things first, God, that we'd be really faithful at home. And so just all these things, God, help us to put them together, and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.